How About Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. We just finished up with minicamp this week, and we're heading into the long stretch of silence before training camp. But we got Marcus Mosher coming in today, and we're going to discuss all the news that came out of minicamp and kind of update us as we get ready to head into the long silence of the NFL. So let's get right into it. All right, joining me now, as he often does, is Marcus Mosher. Marcus is a writer for Bleacher Report and a frequent guest, I guess you could call him, of this show. Marcus, welcome.
Hey, Landon, how you doing?
Good, you know, ready for this long break, though I'm not. I don't know why I say that. I'm actually dreading this long break, even though I have a vacation myself built into this break. But I still, like, going through this whole minicamp OTA thing was like, it just reminded me how much I want real football news. And this is kind of just like football news extreme light, right? I mean, that's right. How I feel.
Well, so, you got six more weeks. It's not going to be that long.
No, it's true. And
we get you in the fantasy football world, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Look out, guys, for my fantasy football rankings I have coming out later on this week, as soon as I figure out what PPR stands for. All right.
I'm not going to tell you.
I don't want to know. So let's talk about real football light, shall we? kind of just wrapping up the mini camp. You know, it's funny because, you know, they distinguish OTAs and mini camp, but to us, it's not really different, at least it hasn't been lately, because it seems like they have such high attendance at OTAs that, you know, even though minicamp is technically required, it seems like the news is not any more or less, I guess, you know, we're not getting different types of news. It's really the same stuff. It's really more about, you know, what's going on, particularly that day in camp. The only difference, I guess, is that we get 3 days of reporters in minicamp, so we kind of get at least more volume of news. And so out of everything that we heard from the 3 days, like, what to you, like, really kind of stood out, you know, of all the kind of headlines that came out of these 3 days?
Well, first and foremost, we have not got as much information as usual, correct? I mean, it seems like we're only getting
absolutely
really small snippets of what's going on in camp.
I mean, we used to get video and, like, I mean, we get pictures and stuff, but they've really, really clamped down. Like, I've been talking about that a lot. They've really clamped down on the info.
So a lot of what we have to do is kind of guess as what's happening at camp, and by the little bits of information coming out. So for me, the biggest thing was that they've been practicing with Chaz Green at left guard. I don't think we expected that to be an option heading into the offseason, correct? I think for most
Not
of
really.
Us, we thought that Green was going to be the right tackle, or at worst, the team swing tackle. It seems like the plan is going into camp that he's going to be their left guard. Maybe there'll be a competition with Jonathan Cooper and Byron Bell. But that's the biggest thing. And it sounds like, for the most part, Green has gotten progressively better at that spot. And you kind of expect that from somebody who's learning a new position. So for me, Chaz Green playing guard is kind of the big news item from the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we're going to definitely dive into that because in this next section a little bit deeper. But I would agree that I think that, you know, outside of kind of just checking a box with Jalen, you know, just, okay, yes, he's out there and doing things, but, you know, not in pads and everything. So outside of that, I would say that is kind of the news part of this is that, you know, I think when we heard talk about Lael Collins moving out to right tackle, I mean, I think everyone expected there to be a competition if Green was healthy. And Green's in practice with everybody else, but not playing tackle. He's playing guard. So But yeah, we'll get into that whole mess in just a second. But I did want to kind of go in a logical manner so that we did get everything. So I wanted to talk about what the major question was heading into the break by offensive group. You know, like not so like what is, you know, what lingering unknown is there still yet to be answered at each of the major position groups as we get ready to head into the break before training camp. So let's start kind of, you know what, what we'll do is we'll jump around. We kind of already have gotten into it, so let's start with the offensive line. You know, as surprising as you said that, like, a Green playing left guard was, I think that the other component of that surprise is that he wasn't outside competing with Lael Collins at right tackle. So, you know, they basically have, I mean, unless they're going to just kind of wait for a training camp in order for it to be a full competition, and maybe they're just getting each one of these guys more snaps at the position that they've played the least, if that's makes sense. But it does look, at least appear at this point, that they've handed the right tackle job to Lael Collins. And we've discussed, like, you know, the issue I had with this was specifically just the learning curve and throwing Lael Collins at right tackle when he's going to have to face some of the best pass rushers in the entire league, you know, immediately. So I guess, what are your thoughts on the strategy overall? Because I am kind of torn. Like, if it works out, like, I do love Lael. I do think Lael Collins, if he can learn the position quickly and become, you know, hit his ceiling at right tackle as you know, quickly as this season, I do love the idea of kind of mitigating the risk of Chaz Green inside with numbers and talent, and having, you know, Lael Collins kind of hold down the right tackle position. And now, you know, because I do think that Chaz Green is one of your best five offensive linemen, but I think putting him inside kind of mitigates the risk you have, the injury risk you have by making him a starter, because at least you have numbers inside, and because it's left guard versus right tackle. What is your thoughts about the strategy overall, and if you're going to rank those guys at left guard, you know, I guess of all the candidates, how would you rank them just off the top of your head as far as likelihood to start?
Well, I think they've shown that they want Green to start somewhere on their offensive line, and I think left guard's going to be his spot. But my question is this. With Green playing left guard, are they in search of a swing tackle now? I mean, if the season opened today,
I mean, that's
Cleary be there? Would he be their swing tackle?
That's the thing, is that, you know, and one of the odd parts about this too is that very early on, and we even commented about how weird it was, they had Cleary playing left guard. So I kind of feel like maybe they're just like putting
all stuff against the wall.
Yeah, I mean, but I think this is the time of year to do that, is to kind of see, like,
right.
I agree with your assessment that they think Green is part of the best five offensive linemen on this team. And I agree with that assessment. I know that there was a lot of, you know, talk about his performance, you know, as a guard early on, but I think, you know, that very much has to do with the fact that he hasn't played a lot of guard. So, I think that no matter what, whether he's playing guard or tackle, he's one of the best five guys there. I tend to think that the alignment, you know, with Collins inside and Green outside felt more immediately stable if, you know, all five of those guys are, everyone was healthy and everything's great. But I understand the financial situation with Lael Collins, and B, the lack of certainty involved with Green. So you mitigate that some inside. I'm concerned, like, because you do take away, you do take away that swing tackle position, that backup swing tackle. But I guess the other side of that coin is, now that I say that, what was our solution if Chaz Green became the starting right tackle? Like who's like, is
fair point.
I mean, is Lael Collins gonna, like, what happened? Because, like, let me ask you this. Let's say Chaz Green is your starting right tackle, and then Tyron Smith gets hurt. Like, are you putting Lael Collins, like, as your left tackle? Like, that seems extreme, you know? Like,
no, you're probably moving Green to left tackle and then Collins at the right tackle. So you're moving two guys.
And so at that point, I guess my point is there, at that point, what's the difference between doing that and then moving Chaz Green from left guard to right tackle if Lael Collins gets hurt or Tyron Smith gets hurt? So
Right. That's probably what would happen. And they would probably slide. My guess is, here's my guess. They're working Jonathan Cooper at center and a little bit at left guard throughout camp. My guess is they're trying to get him to be one of the seven active linemen on game day. So he can be, you know, he can do a little bit of everything in case a scenario like that happened.
They want him as Looney's role, basically. You know, I think the idea would be, and I know that everyone hates the idea of moving two people to, like, solve one, but I don't necessarily hate it if you're getting the best guys on the field. And I think if that means, like, you start Green at left guard, and then if either one of your tackles gets hurt, he kicks out, and then Jonathan Cooper comes in, as opposed to Green staying inside and Emmett Cleary or Bell being your left tackle, then, I mean, give me two moves all day long and twice on, and, you know, twice on Sunday, literally. Like, you know, I mean, I understand, like, the whole thought process there of it being, like, you don't want to move two to get one. But at the same time, I want my best five on there, especially since how important my offensive line is, that we got that I need the most talent out there. You know, and maybe that's, and even in game, like even in, not even just like, oh, the next week, like in game, I need my offensive line to be good in order for me to win. I think that's a big thing that gets overlooked, is that our team is very much built around our offensive line performing. So,
right.
All right. Let's move on to other spots. I didn't think I got your ranking. What is your ranking for left guard as it stands right now?
I would go Green, Cooper, Bell, Cleary.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clearly the ranking. I won't ever make a pun again, I swear to God.
There you go. Okay. That's bad.
let's move on to QB. What would you say is the major question heading into the break at QB, in the QB room?
So my guess is they're going to take the next 6 weeks to look at the free agent quarterback market, see if there's anybody else they want to bring into camp. If it were up to me, I would look at bringing in another quarterback to compete with Kellen Moore. However, I just don't think that's likely. For me, that's the biggest question. Is Kellen Moore a suitable enough backup to, if he has to come into the game, can he operate the offense? Can it be functional with him in the game? I don't think so. They believe so, but I think that's going to be our biggest question as we head into camp. Will they sign another veteran quarterback?
I mean, like, I understand that he had the 400 yard game and all that, but I mean, at camp, before he was getting hurt, like, he was screwing up reps for people. He was, because he couldn't get the ball out, you know, with enough velocity to get the rep done. You know, it's like, I don't understand the.
Well, my thing is, they brought in a bunch of these young receivers, and they have, you know, Rico Gathers and James Hanna and Jeff Swaim. They need a quarterback that can get them the ball in practice to kind of figure out where they're going to be at to help develop them. This was my whole point about at least bringing Colin Kaepernick or Austin Davis when he was out there. At least those guys have shown that they can play in the NFL, even if they're just signed to get you through camp. I think that's a better solution than what you have currently with Moore and Dysart as your two quarterbacks behind Dak.
Yeah, I really, I, I scratch my head so much with Kellen Moore because I just don't see it. Like, he's just like not physically, he's just not physically talented enough to even operate in a practice. Like, it's, and it's clear. Like, I mean, you watch it, like, and I'm not the only one at practice that, like, at training camp that thinks that. Like, you hear other people around you talking about it. So it's like, yeah, it's, and it's bad, you know. And I do wonder how much it's screwing up reps for other people, and you know, I think at a certain point the charade has got to be over, and you just make him a coach or something. Just make him a quality control coach or something.
Right.
But
so
get him off the field.
Real quick. Right. So real quick, think about how much Rico Gathers has talked about how much better he's gotten because of Tony Romo in practice.
Yeah.
Is Kellen Moore going to help any receivers do that in practice? Is he going to help the tight ends get better? I don't see it.
There's just a lot of things that the backup quarterback does that, like, he can't even do. Like, and it's not like, I mean, it's very basic functions of being a backup quarterback that he can't do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand he's another great mind in the quarterback room, but, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to be able to, like, execute practice, you know, and, like, not screw up other people's practice reps because you can't execute the play or the rep well enough. It's just ridiculous. Moving on, running back. What's the major question coming out of the running back spot?
Not much with the running back. I mean, obviously, will Ezekiel Elliott get suspended? I think we'll hear about that later on in the month. Hint, hint. But other than that, I'm curious to see if they sign a pass-catching running back, one that can replace Lance Dunbar as we head into the camp. I know I've mentioned a few different guys. Tavares Cadet at New Orleans, he might get cut. One of the New England running backs, one of their receiving guys may get cut as well. But again, running back, there's not too many questions heading into camp.
Yeah, it looks like more of just how is it going to end up. I wouldn't be surprised if Rod Smith ended up being the third running back
on
this team.
Just
the way it lays out. Because,
well, that makes so much more sense on game day too, because Alfred Morris isn't going to give you any special teams ability. Smith can play running back, fullback. He's a good receiver. He can do all the punt, kick, return stuff. So
yeah,
I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I agree. Tight end. What do you got for the tight end group?
Just how healthy are Jess Swaim and James Hanna?
Yeah.
Because if they're not ready to go for camp, you're going to see a lot of Rico Gathers early on in camp. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. If we can see more Gathers with the first and second team early on in camp, I think that's going to be a good thing long term for Rico Gathers. But yeah, it's just going to be how healthy are James Hanna and Swaim.
I know you and I disagree a little bit about the usage of tight ends, but
a little bit.
I mean, just a little bit about how the formations should be divided up. But I think that not having Hanna and Swaim, especially Hanna, I mean, because you didn't have them at all last season. I really think it got lost because we did so well, and the, you know, the offense obviously, yeah, had incredible success without him. But I really do think that there could have been a noticeable improvement if Hanna had been there. And I think it would have freed them up to do a lot more formation wise, because you would have had, you know, at least, I mean, even if it was either Hanna or Swaim at the end of the season, to have just one more competent tight end in there to kind of run those formations. I just feel like if you have your full complement of tight ends, that they should consider running more 13 and 12. I just think you can be creative with that and do a lot of interesting stuff. But again, the question, like you say there, is Hanna and Swaim going to be healthy enough to even get on the field? So
right.
We'll see how that plays out, because I'm a fan of both those guys, but because I really do think they can help the offense, but it is about staying on the field at this point with both of them. Flopping to the defense, I kind of just broke them up into three groups because it's so tough to kind of tell, especially a defensive back, who is what and what they are. So let's talk about the rushman first. You know, there's so many storylines. What do you think is the most major one coming from the rushman heading out of the minicamp.
How healthy is DeMarcus Lawrence? We saw him in limited action in minicamps. I don't think he was doing all that much. But he is really the key to their defense this year. I really believe that if he's healthy and he's playing like he was in 2015, you're going to see a much better pass rush from the Cowboys. If he's not, and they're having to rely on Taco as their right end and Benson Mayowa, it could be a struggle early on in the year. So it's as we head into these next 6 weeks, I want to hear stories about how DeMarcus Lawrence is in the best shape of his life, how the back is not a problem anymore. Again, I think how healthy he is heading into camp is going to be one of the most important factors for the Cowboys season.
It's so interesting how they seem to approach their problem solving with numbers. You know, it's like they just flood the problem with numbers. I mean, a defensive line it's kind of been that way. Like, you know, they struggled to attain talent. I mean, not that they've struggled to attain it, but they've struggled to hold on to the talent, whether it's through injury or suspensions or, in DeMarcus Lawrence's case, both. But, you know, and then their way of kind of covering it up is just to throw bodies. So, you have the kind of this kind of cocktail at defensive line now with Tapper and Mayowa and DeMarcus Lawrence and Taco and Irving and, you know, and I think
Montre Moore
and DeMontre Moore. I mean, we have to consider that it's because, I mean, he got a lot of chatter in OTAs in the off season, and he has at least some skins on the wall. Not great numbers, but I mean, I think he's played however many snaps he's played that many more in the NFL than Tapper has.
He has the second most career sacks for all the defensive ends on their team right now. Which, I believe he does.
Which is not surprising. Like this is not a team like with a ton of experience or skin on the walls. And I think that is like ultimately they're betting on upside on defense kind of across the board and in their defensive backfield too. I think it's they're throwing a lot of young players at positions that they need performance. And they're hoping that either the collection of them or one of them steps up and then the rest can fill in as needed is enough to get the production that they need at that position. And I agree that, like, if DeMarcus Lawrence, who seems to be the person with the person who's eligible and here and has the most pedigree of the group to kind of be the man. And if he doesn't, then the Cowboys are going to have to find another way to get the raw production that they need rushing the passer. You know, I think it was you that kind of brought up the PFF's stat. They were the fourth in the league for opposing quarterbacks' time in the pocket. I mean, that holds true. I mean, you know, you look. I think they were like what. They were pretty high if you look at the ranking for sacks, right? I think it was like they're like
They were last in pressures and last in hurries.
Yeah, really. And I think that shows you like that sacks is not the kind of end all be all number, you know. Like, and if you think about the critical moments where the Cowboys lost games, you know, the Green Bay throw, just other moments where the game would be lost. It's because so-and-so, whatever good quarterback, had entirely too much time in the pocket, you know? And so I think that's clearly where they need to get better. So it'll be interesting to see. So, all right, let's get through the last two real quick. Linebacker, what's the major headline there?
Jalen. I mean, that might be the biggest story for the Cowboys during camp, regardless of position. I mean, we'll know right away with Jalen in camp is if he can be in pads and he can hold up against contact, it's going to be pandemonium in Dallas. It's going to be crazy. But if we are 2-3 weeks into camp and he's still limited and they're trying to keep him out of contact, then I think it's time to officially get worried. But as we head into camp, it's all about how healthy is Jalen Smith.
See, I tend to think – I agree with you partially. But I also think that they are going to be – I think that they have to navigate the PUP designation very carefully, right? Like, if they even think for a moment that he's not ready to get into pads, I wouldn't be surprised if they just PUPed him. Just because they want that or not PUP him, I think NFI. Could this still be NFI?
It could be.
This is the element that I'm not 100% sure on, like, what the rule is because of his situation. And I guess that's kind of my point, is that there's very specific rules about PUP and NFI, like what they can and cannot do. So if they determine that they don't love what they see immediately, they may, how do I say this? They may be extra quick to pull the trigger on pupping or NFIing him, because they want the opportunity that they could lose by letting him practice to put him on this list to protect the roster spot.
Well, my thing is, if he opens up the training camp on PUP, and let's say they think, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks, maybe he'll be ready to go. To me, that's concerning, because not much is going to change over 2 to 3 weeks. I mean,
I don't know that that's true.
I just, is he not going to be ready by July 25th, but all of a sudden be ready by August 1st? I mean, that
could be possible. I mean, because I think the difference is that he could be, I think the problem is where he is with the brace, but also that there is a threshold that he may be able to clear where he doesn't need to play with the brace anymore. And then suddenly that unlocks another level of explosiveness that he can play with. Like, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, there could be a situation where he's more explosive without the brace already, but he can't play without the brace because of other reasons. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and so suddenly he gets his foot, his foot up, his toes up with enough regularity from 1 week to the next week, where that's enough for him to get the brace off. And look, from what the reports that we're hearing, like, they were getting incredible, like, exponential amounts of change in the nerve firing in a month. So yeah, I think within a week, it's possible that he. I think that there is a very high possibility that, like, the timing of this may not just quite line up with the way training camp goes, but and that he still plays without the brace this season. I think
there's just so much information coming about.
Yeah,
because we had Gil Brand at practice on Thursday, and he said, you know, he looked like he didn't lose a step, but then you have USA Today reporters that were at camp saying that, you know, he still walks with a slight limp. So until we actually get to practice and we see videos of him, like, taking on offensive linemen and, like, making tackles.
Yeah, I mean, that's
we have no idea. I mean, that's the truth. We just really have no idea.
The way that the Jalen Smith information should be, like, consumed in my mind is it should be a minus or a check. And if it's a check, then you go on to what the next step is. Like, you don't celebrate. We're not, like, you know, there are still many steps before he's Jalen Smith and he's the starting linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, even if he gets on the field in training camp and hits a guy and survives, that doesn't mean, like, the victory's been won and it's over. It just means that he's cleared that next step. To me, so far, he's cleared every step without any setbacks at this point. So I just want to see him continuing to like make advances and then eventually get to where he needs to go. It may not quite align up with training camp, and because of the rules of how they have to roster things, there may be things that make it look worse than it is. But until, like, you know, like, he's gone out there and shown us that he can't do something, then they're really, or that he can, like, do it, and now it's on to the next step. There really isn't any new news here, you know, like until he's hitting somebody in pads. And then at that point, it's not victory. It's just, okay, let's raise the bar a little bit, that much more, and go to the next thing. So,
I just want Rolando back.
Yeah, well, don't even get me started. Last group, defensive backs. So I know that this is a huge group to put one headline on, but if you're going to garner one storyline out of this group, what would it be?
I don't feel like there's that much uncertainty heading into camp. I mean, do you? I feel like we have the starting nickel already figured out.
I think that it's like offensive. It's like left guard for me. If this is what the situation is, except it's better. It's even better than left guard. But my point is that if this is the situation going in, I'm good with our answers. I just don't know what the answer is yet. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's like someone's giving me a multiple choice question, and I'm good with whatever each one of the answers. I'm like, each one of these I'm fine with. Like that's how I feel, is that I don't know what this combination is going to be, whether it's a woozy left cornerback in the nickel and then he kicks inside, or if, you know, Skandrick is inside out and Anthony Brown. All I know is that I'm good with these guys. I like the roster where it is. And as long as a woozy or one of these guys can play both inside and out, like that should be enough for us to be able to find a really good combination for nickel and dime and base. Right. And that's how I feel. So I feel like there's good numbers here. Like I feel like there's depth here even. And this may end up being one of the deeper part of the team at when it's all said and done.
Which is crazy considering what we thought about their defensive backs free agency.
They drafted four defensive backs, you know? It's right. Like, and then, you know, so, like, it's, and then.
And they're signing Revis, if you didn't know that. They're signing Revis.
Yeah, and they're signing Revis. So, and they signed Carroll. So, you know, like, I mean, they really threw a ton of resources. I mean, they lost a lot of guys, but they threw a ton of resources at it. And I think that they bought well at the position. I think they got good guys from everything we can tell. So I think that it's going to pay off well. So, you know, like I said, I don't know what the answer is yet there. And I feel like this, like I said, except to a slighter degree at left guard, I don't know what the specific answer is yet, but I like the way we're going about finding the solution. I like the options there enough that I'm not concerned about it.
Right. Maybe the biggest question surrounding their defensive backs are what happens to Nolan Carroll and Jordan Lewis in the next 6 months or 6 weeks, because they each have court dates coming up. So is Jordan Lewis going to be allowed to play? Is Nolan Carroll going to get suspended? Those are probably the biggest stories entering camp.
Yeah. And the thing is that we kind of have no gauge for this, because Carroll's situation, I mean, he may or may not get suspended for what he did. Like it's not an automatic situation. So it'll be interesting to see. Speaking of automatic and certainty, last question before we go, give me one thing that you feel is safe to say, and one thing that you feel is anyone's guess about the roster as it stands right now.
I think it's safe to say that the offense is going to dominate the defense in camp. I feel like this offense is absolutely loaded. I love the additions of Ryan Switzer and Noah Brown to the offense. And I think, I really believe this offense has a chance to be one of the top three offenses in the NFL. And that alone gives you hope that they're going to be able to repeat as NFC East champions. But for unknowns, you just don't know about that pass rush. Every single year we head into camp wondering where the pass rush is going to come from. And it's been that way since DeMarcus Ware left in 2013. So as we enter camp, I'm going to be curious to watch to see which pass rushers are stepping up, how Taco looks. I've heard David Irving has been their best defensive lineman in camp. We'll see. But those are the two things I know and I don't know heading into camp.
Sounds like a pretty familiar song to me, Marcus, I got to say. Guys, make sure you follow Marcus on Twitter. It's at Marcus_Mosher. Read his stuff at Bleacher Report. Make sure you follow
And FanRag.
And FanRag, yeah. Of course.
The rest of summer, we're at FanRag.
We're all at FanRag. We're all having fun with FanRag. Hey, I mean, what John Oning, our editor, called us the best duo since who was it that you guys were referring to as a great duo?
Bosa and Melvin Ingram, actually.
Well, that's not a very old pairing. So we're the first one, best one since then, like since last season.
Who's Bosa and who's Melvin Ingram here?
You're definitely Bosa, without a doubt. All right.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure you're following me at McCoolBTB as well, and you're hitting FanRag Sports up throughout the week. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks.